Guys, thank you for tuning in to another episode of the Traveling Hoopers podcast. I am your host, Alan Patrick Pettigrew Jr. Yeah, the full name this time. In front of me are my good friends, Calvin McGowan and Philip Dixon. Guys, go ahead and let the people hear your voice.
Once again, I'm Calvin McGowan. It's always a pleasure to be here. There will be a small chunk of time where I just talk real bad about the Lakers.
All right, my name is Philip Dixon, a.k.a. the Salt Man, because I stay salty. I'm ready to talk some basketball.
All right, guys, today is going to be a playoff prediction episode. So, of course, we have to rewind who we thought was going to be in the playoffs or winning the championship at the beginning of the season. And let's just say at least one third of us was very wrong. At the beginning of the season, they were hyping up either Brooklyn or the Lakers. Brooklyn is going to be in the play-in tournament, and the Lakers are going to be looking for a draft pick. Well, a lottery.
What? Pick. I'm like, they don't have. They probably won't have that pick.
I'm not a Lakers fan, baby.
Good.
This means absolutely nothing to me. I hope LeBron leaves a free agency. But guys, we're going to go ahead. Who you guys got coming out of the East right now? We got Heat as the number one seed. Yeah. Brooklyn, as far as I'm concerned, is the wild card coming out of the seventh. Like, they have to get... They got to beat the Hawks, which I think they're going to do pretty easily in the play-in tournament. And then, like, that gauntlet of 4-6 is kind of crazy. You got the 76ers, Raptors, and Bulls, all teams that you're going to have to fight for your life to get.
Bulls, no, because Lonzo's not playing, and the facilitation won't be near as efficient as what it should be. 76ers, no, because no matter what, you can't trust James Harden at this point in the season. Unfortunately, like, I want to, but like, I'm not one of those people that has a pure dislike for James Harden, but I actually enjoy James Harden. Unfortunately, every single year towards this time, he's not what he is at the beginning of the season, right?
So he doesn't get the foul calls.
Doesn't get the foul calls. Also, the game slows down. It's more of a half-court game than a transition game. Whatever, right? But also, we never see him with somebody like Embiid. But just based off his track record, you know, I got to go with that. I'm going to stick with my early season prediction. The consistency of the Milwaukee Bucks, right? If the game's fast, they good. They have the best transition. They have arguably the best transition player in the NBA, to be honest. The game slows down, you're good. You've got a top-tier defender, Drew Holiday. You have Chris Middleton, who is just nasty. And you feel like he can make any shot from any point on the court. But also, you have Giannis, who is shooting the best in his career for mid-range right now. And he's still an incredible offensive rebounder, defensive rebounder, rebound overall, and post player, right? Might not have the crazy footwork like Joel Embiid, but you don't necessarily need to have that when your arms touch your, when your hands touch your knees and you 7 foot. You know what I mean? So with all the consistency, and they have really consistent role players too, right? And I might not be choosing them if last year didn't happen. But last year happened, and you saw Giannis able to do his thing when clutch time comes up. You know what I mean? Kawhi is not guarding him no more. He's not about that. You know what I mean? He really... really does it. And for the Heat, sure, I'd choose them, but they're not in the bubble. So I don't. Jimmy Butler is not a top tier player. He's a tier two player. He can't be the best player on the team. He's got to be second best. But he wants to be first best. So good on him. You just won't win that way. So
I would just like to point out this isn't really for any reason. I just felt compelled to look it up. Hero is apparently averaging 20 points a game, 5 rebounds, and 4 assists off the bench. That's probably not going to change your position. I'm not trying to change it.
He's coming off the bench for a reason, bro.
I'm just saying.
To him, but he's coming off the bench for a reason this year.
He's a Granted, okay, I would say he's a defensive liability.
But, you can say it.
But the best six men we've ever seen, right? Top two, off the top of my head, right? Top two being who? Jamal Crawford and Lou Will. Defensive liability.
Liabilities, yeah.
So, like, sure, but is he one of those players that are going to embrace the come off the bench, the six man? Or is he one of those players that's like, oh, no, no, I'm a starter. And then somewhere else, he becomes a starter. And it's like, no, man, you better go back to the bench. But, like, by the time that whole thing is figured out, it's a little too late in the career. You know what I mean? We've seen that before. So, who knows where he is and where he'll be. But he's not going to change my opinion on the Heat. Because one more time, I'll repeat. If Jimmy Butler's your number one option, you won't win a championship. At best, you'll get second place when there's no fans around.
Wow. Okay. Let's see. Who do I think will come out? So Simmons still hasn't like even suited up, right? Ben Simmons.
No, they're trying to say that he's not for the season. They're saying he might. There's a chance he could come back the first series.
Okay, he won't be there. Great. Okay.
generally, like it's like sure. He can come back the first, but like, do you think he's gonna like the team needs to play together? You want to experiment in the playoffs, but whatever.
Like, as much as I want that to happen, why? Why in the world would that happen? They just got full time Kyrie back. There's a lot of pieces that just haven't gelled yet. Now you want to add the man who
fairness. He only solves their defensive issues if he's on the floor to play defense.
But then there's like the other side of the court, right?
Well, like on the other side of the court, he can just chill in the dunker spot like he did in the 76ers and be fine. You want to know why? Because he's playing with Kyrie and Kevin Durant.
Granted, I did see another video like for the fifth year in a row of him shooting a jump shot the other day in ESPN trying to pump that up. And then the comments on Twitter, people were like, not this again. You know what I mean? Like, it was really funny because, like, at some point, just, like, chill out. Like, we get what you're doing. But, like, him being on – generally speaking, adding a player this late into the season would be a bad thing. But you have a team with Kevin Durant. Like, no matter your opinions on the guy, the guy's arguably the best offensive player that we've seen, like, from the beginning of his career till now, right? To, like, his prime and, like, going forward. I don't. If it works, it works, right? Like, there's a reason why their coaches, right, Steve Nash and his whole coaching team, is a reason why they're there and we are talking about the decisions. Sometimes coaches are really bad, but majority of the time, there's a reason why they're there.
Look, I don't think Nash's coaching ability is necessarily why he's there, but that's a separate conversation.
No, you're right. I retract my point.
Like, I mean, like, you can make that argument for plenty of dudes. I just don't think it's Nash.
I know, 100%. Like, I said that, and then you said that, and I was like, oh, Nash and Kerr, same kind of predicament, right? Same kind of scenario. One just happens to have Durant and one has Seth Curry. Or Seth.
I mean, I could be wrong, but I would make an argument that Kerr is better than Nash. And I'm not a Kerr fan.
One had Durant and Steph Curry at the same time. Go ahead and add that in there.
Fairness, he did get a ring before KD showed up. So there's that, like. Anyway,
speaking, he got like three of them before KD showed up.
That's right. Like, I think they got like two. Beside the point. Okay. So, like, obviously the Bulls aren't making it out. The Celtics probably aren't making it out unless Williams is he out for the playoffs?
Yes. I think he's out for the rest of the season.
Yeah. All right. So, Celtics aren't making it. I'm trying to think. Because I want to. Look, all right, I'm just going to go with the 76ers. This could bite me later. It is what it is. Because, like, I can't spend all day going over this, right? I think seeing the Cavaliers make it out some kind of way would be a lot of fun. Right? I'd like to see the Heat make it out because I like... I like them. Sue me. But, like, the 76ers have one of the best... They have Joel Embiid. They have James Harden. And even if James Harden can't consistently carry, Embiid can. Right? He's done it basically all season. They have a decent supporting cast. Right? It's kind of just... Okay, long as Harden doesn't completely disappear, I think they're good.
Okay. Yes. But James Harden has the ball every possession. So, like, they have a lot of pieces that are really good around them. But when one person is consistently holding the ball and the decisions of the team are made through that one person, like Doc Rivers said, like, you can't really blame everybody else. You got to blame James Harden because it's all going through him. So if he was like some other...
Just let Maxey run the offense if that's that big an issue.
Let's talk about his supporting pieces. You putting a lot of pressure on the second year dude. And I understand that as a rookie, he was looking good in the playoffs. But when he's definitely on the scouting report, it's basically the third option. What are the defense going to be looking like, especially when Harden's not having a good night? But he's, and then we got to talk about
nice though.
Oh yeah, no, he is, but he's going to get extra defensive attention. And then we talking about Tobias Harris, who has like a personal
who? Tab. Who? Where he been?
That's what I'm saying. He has like a personal cap. So as good as these like other pieces are, then what? Like Matisse Thybulle? Has Matisse Thybulle like started to play offense yet?
I mean, I don't know. Shoot, I'm just like, he's there. You pay him to play defense.
Look, real
and
facts,
that's
though,
great.
Real facts, though. That's true. Real facts, though. Tobias Harris had one good, really good season with the Clippers, and everybody based the next, like, everybody forgot about the years before that. Forgot about it. Like, we're like, okay, this is what this guy is. But it was like, not really. And they're like, oh, this is what he is with Doc Rivers, though. Then you see it again, it's like, not really. So, like, I don't get it. You know what I mean? Like, is he just not good? Like, what's going on? Because, like, ideally, like, real quick, ideally, he should be, like, the Chris Middleton for them. Right? Like, his game is very similar to Chris Middleton's. But when Chris Middleton shoots the ball, you like, that's going in. When Tobias Harris shoots the ball, you're like, I mean,
that could go in.
He could go in.
There's a chance.
So, like, their game should be alike. Your game should be alike. But they're not, because one makes it and one doesn't make it nearly as much. Based off of one season, we put Tobias up there. It's like, we needed to chill out. We definitely did.
That man was a tier two player for years, putting up like tier three moments. And it's like, ooh, what is... We still rocking with him because he's 6'10"?
It's just like, I look at this and he's been a very similar dude as far as like how he's played for a long time. I think that probably that change in opinion was mostly just the fact he averaged a little over 20 a game 1 year, even though he spent multiple years averaging right under that. So he was a similar dude that year, too. I think the main difference is that was his best 3-point shooting year.
Up the playoff numbers.
Do I want to?
Look, Tobias Harris is incredibly consistent, but there is a cap. Like, he going to go get you 15 and 6. But if you need 16 and 7, he going to get you 15 and 6.
Okay, so...
Like, that's where he's at.
In his postseasons, which, oddly enough, been basically only with Philly, over the course of his entire career, he's averaging 17 points, 9 rebounds, 3 assists, basically a steal a game.
Wait, over how many seasons?
This is 3 appearances, correction, 4 appearances in the postseason. I'm looking at the postseason.
Sometimes
it looks like his 3-point numbers dip some, and that seems to be the main difference.
See, sometimes
last year it didn't dip that much last year though.
So you come across players that are just like average, but somehow they are presented either for a year or a couple of years as more than that. And I think Tobias Harris is one of those guys. Like, it's no knock on him, because when Jimmy Butler left, they're like, okay, like, you had to choose between Jimmy Butler and Tobias Harris. Essentially, is what happened. And that's a
you picked Butler. But
no matter how you feel about Jimmy Butler, to say that he's not better than Tobias Harris is kind of ridiculous, right? Even just like the intangible things he brings to the game, right? Intensity, hyping up the crowd, hyping up his teammates, whatever.
Harris.
But they try to put him on the same level, especially at that time. And it's like, no, that was a 1-2-3 system. Granted, they should have won. They should have won a lot more of those games, right? But it is what it is. When you had Ben Simmons, that was a really good team. What's going on? Tobias Harris is fine. He's fine, but
I think he's good. He's just not great, if that makes sense. Like, good, very goodish, like somewhere around there. But like, he's not the dude. But like, I still think that's good enough that like, unless that like you, like he's fine. Like, they'll be fine. Like,
look, right? The like, Doc Rivers system is tailored for that man. That's all I will say. Like, those two match made in heaven. Like, whatever his third option is, Tobias Harris fits that mold, and he does.
The last time I watched a game for 76ers, he had so many open shots because James Harden was getting double teamed, and then Joel Embiid was getting double teamed too. I'm like, when you have those two on the court at the same time, as the role player, you have to take your shots. You're just missing threes, missing middies, missing everything. I'm like, you can't do that. You know what I mean? But if you don't miss that, and that doesn't take the pressure off of anybody else, because the ball is going to go to him.
Mm-hmm. But like, his career, he's a mediocre 3-point shooter, and like, that's not hated. Like, he's shooting 36% over his career. Actually, he's currently shooting his career average on the dot.
See, that's weird.
But moving right along. All right, hold up, wait. Okay, you said Milwaukee. Alan, did you say who you got?
Look, you already know the answer. I've been rocking with them all season, bro.
I'm sorry you're going to get disappointed so soon.
Who going to get disappointed? Look, we about to win.
You will.
We about to make it out of the play-in. When we make it out, we got to play against the Celtics.
You won't. Look, the Celtics.
They might get a hurt Celtics.
Exactly.
The Celtics, all faith in Jason Tatum and Jalen Brown. Let's go.
I got faith in them too, but like, you're gonna have to have a lot of defense to slow the Nets down.
But one team has Durant and Kyrie, and
the shut up, both of you. This is my segment. Look, I am not worried about no stinking defense, and I get it. Tatum is a bad boy,
and you see how that's been going for them.
Tatum is a bad boy. Brown is a bad boy. But if we're talking about pure production, if I'm going with a duo out of this group, I am going with KD and Kyrie. We're going to be able to outscore their better two, and then it turns into Marcus Smart versus Patty Mills. And it's not like Marcus Smart can put his defense on Patty Mills, because Marcus Smart is a starter versus Kyrie. That's his matchup. Name me the backup point guard for the Celtics.
I like my
chances for Patty Mills. And then we got the ultimate floor spacer right now in Seth Curry. Drummond is doing solid work on the defensive glass. If you would have told me they had Time Lord chilling out in the paint, blocking shots, grabbing rebounds, I say it, we lean it towards the Celtics. Tell me who their backup center is. Tell me who's playing center for them right now.
The Celtics? Do they have Baines again? I thought they have Tyus.
They have Tyus. Y'all think Tyus about to out-rebound Drummond?
No.
Honestly, I'd just be like, look, whenever the ball goes up, block Drummond out. I don't care what you have to do. Foul him. Just keep him away from the boards.
Look, and I do think he's going to be able to get him. Like, in every game that the Celtics win, I think Tyus is going to be the deciding factor, because he's going to have to give you that defense on the block. He's going to have to be a game changer. Like, I think Brown and Tatum could be consistent enough where they're equally battling KD and Kyrie. You already know who I'm giving the edge to. It's all about matchups in this one. That's what the playoffs is all about. And we got better matchups to come out of that. And then, like, who would be next after that? Like, I don't have it in front of me.
I don't have a picture in my head of the thing. Okay. I'm looking at the standings, though.
Let's say it gets rough, and we got to go against the Milwaukee Bucks. And at that point, I don't know.
Yeah, you do.
I really don't know.
Yeah, you do. One team plays efficient offense and defense. One team plays offense.
Okay, you're asking me to be logical here, and I've already went full in. I pushed all my chips to the middle of the table.
Right, right.
I do think there's a high chance that they can't make it past the elite team in the East, which is the Milwaukee Bucks. That is the only team in the East that I'm worried about. I think we can beat every single team, seven games, full-time Kyrie. Even if we had to play Toronto at some point, we're tapping Toronto up. Like, we don't need Kyrie for every single game. We don't.
I feel like you're selling some teams short, but we're good. Can we move on to the West? Because
who else is truly competing with us?
Honestly, the way the Nets have played this year, anybody can beat them. Like, let's not. If we're being realistic, like logically, not whatever is going on in your mind right now, but let's say we're talking about like facts, right? Any team that is Milwaukee Bulls, Sixers,
Raptors,
Heat. They can beat them because the other teams are consistent and they aren't. Period. Right? That's why they're not number 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 seed. That's what they're playing in, because they're not consistent. Excuse me. So any team can logically beat them. Especially on a one-game basis, but who knows? But once again, who knows? So we'll see. We'll see.
Okay, so, all right, who y'all got coming out the West? We need to move this along.
West, I am going to go Phoenix. I think Phoenix is the most complete team out West. Like, I think they might be the most complete team in the entire league, to be completely honest with you. They basically brought the same group that got them to the championship last year. And I think they have answers for literally everybody that steps in front of them. We already saw how...
I'm sorry, I'll explain in a second.
Yeah, we already saw how Phoenix dealt with Golden State earlier this year. And I think that's like their biggest competition. Utah does not do it for me at all in the playoffs. The Dallas Mavericks are the Luka show. And you can let Luka get all the work he can possibly want. And I guess they're better at defense. But you tell them you're about to stop whatever Chris Paul has in mind. And you got to worry about Ayton. And Devin Booker's cooking. So, like, I don't have much faith in any of those matchups. And I'm not even going to talk about anybody else. Calvin, I know you're sweet, sweet Memphis.
Wait, are we talking about Nuggets?
Huh?
Nuggets?
I'm not worried about the Nuggets. The Nuggets don't got
Is Murray back? I thought he was still out.
I think he is still out.
Okay,
yeah.
And so is Porter. They don't have enough juice. And they have to then work those guys back into the game. And that's, as far as I'm concerned, that is a Brooklyn situation where it's like, we know what your role is, but now you actually got to get your timing back after not being, like, not playing at all this season.
Okay, so I'll say this. Betting against Curry will do you all wrong. it's going to be the Suns. Grizzlies, no offense, Calvin, are a flash in the pan for this year. Like, this is not a normal thing. Warriors, once again, Steph Curry, Klay Thompson, like, when the playoffs come, people knees buckle up, they buckle in. You know what I mean? Yeah, that's not a real saying. It's kind of made up, whatever. Jazz, who cares? Like, they're going to be second round and then, like, get out again because Rudy Gobert is trash. Nuggets, you're right. I actually really enjoy the Timberwolves, though. I'm not going to lie to you. But I'm saying this. If give the Timberwolves maybe two more seasons, I think they're going to be a problem. Watch. If Anthony Edwards stays and Carl Anthony Towns stays, two more seasons, they're going to be a problem. But right now, they're too young. Then Clippers, if Kawhi's not playing, then no. So, Allen's probably right. It's going to be the Phoenix Suns. But then once again, it's hard for me to say the Suns because we got to watch out for Chris Paul. Because Chris Paul might get injured again. So
that's what I was thinking about.
It happens so often. When I say this often, every single year in the playoffs, he has like a nick injury. So it might happen again. It's a strong chance it probably will happen again. Knock on wood. I hope it doesn't happen. But, you know, if it doesn't happen, Phoenix. If it does happen, then Phoenix.
Look. I, even with Chris Paul going down, I still think the only team that can really match up with them is the Denver Nuggets. I mean, not the Denver Nuggets, but the Golden State Warriors. That's still the only team.
Yeah, I'm done watching Steph Curry.
Yeah. Hey, I know we talked about, like, how, like, the conferences are balancing out a little bit more. Like, the East has the edge. You know, when we look at these playoff teams, I am, like, super uninspired by the West.
Yeah, you should be. But you wouldn't be uninspired, but the West's best players are out. Like, excluding the Lakers, who are just bad, the West, like, Kawhi, Murray,
George.
Say again?
Isn't Paul George out, or was he only out?
Paul George was all the season, but like their best, like the most exciting players are out, right? Zion out, Dame out. So all the players that we expect to be in that position are gone, except no one for Phoenix is out, and no one for the Warriors are out. You know what I mean? But everybody else is just injured. So it's not. So you're seeing new teams crop up, going to take advantage of an injured West. But next year, this Western Conference is going to look anywhere near the same. So,
you know, you only said like two teams that are really good, and that's the Clippers and that's Denver.
Portland.
They would not be good with Dame.
You said Portland.
Yeah, I did.
They would not be good with Dame.
Outside of Dame, who else? Who else they got?
So what?
Outside of Dame, who else they got?
Got Dame time. That's all that matters.
I'm sure it mattered a lot last season, too.
You what?
I said I'm sure it mattered a lot last season, too.
It didn't, but, you know, No, but here, it didn't. But if you're talking about being inspired, that's not just about like who's going to win. That's talking about exciting basketball, right? Anytime Dame plays, the game's exciting. No matter who's on his team, even though he's had like a very his city has always been there, right? But just watching Dame playing in playoffs in general is always a treat. You know what I mean? So, but him just not being in a picture at all, and you haven't heard of Dame since he got hurt. So you just, he says he's out of sight, out of mind, kind of thing.
But
again, that just only makes two teams better.
Yeah, it's only 17 teams, it's like 18 teams in playoffs. Two's like a good amount of them.
Yeah.
It's like, yeah. Like not a lot. Like, yeah, the whole league, yeah.
That makes it four that have a chance, but it's still a low four. Like, there's tiers even in that four of, like, who really
has. Oh, yeah, isn't Doncic hurt? I think I saw something about
he
that.
He rolled his ankle. Well, calf. He had, like, something wrong with his calf. Like, I'm going to be real with you. Every time I see somebody have, like, a hurt calf now, I immediately think of, like, the Kevin Durant situation. I'm like, maybe you shouldn't play.
No, I was tripping. What's it called? Out two. John Wall.
What?
I'm joking. John Wall stayed. Do you know what the injury is?
I know he was out. So.
he getting paid by Bob. He getting paid by the Rockets.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I think he tore his Achilles.
Was it an Achilles?
I think it was the Achilles.
Okay. I really had no idea. I just know injured.
So I'm gonna say this one more so just because I just want to see it happen. All right, because Allen got his. All right, I'm gonna say the Grizzlies are gonna come out of the West. Right, they've been far and away one of the best teams all season. It's basically just been them, Golden State, and the Suns. All right. None of us have confidence in any of the other three teams anyway. All right, the question, as y'all state, is like, how are you going to match up? And the Grizzlies have the personnel and the depth to match up with anybody, right? Ja Morant's getting his, right? Steven Adams, is, in addition to just kind of being a brick wall of a human being in like the realest and funniest way possible, right? He's also a solid passer for the position, and which can open up off ball movement for Bain, Brooks, Morant. I think honestly a lot of it's going to come down to making sure they consistently hit their threes. But like they have a good chance to win as the Warriors at least shoot. So I'm gonna go with them.
Let's just say,
okay,
Memphis makes it out of the West, right?
Uh huh.
They lose. Whoever's in the East is winning again this year. Like that's really how I'm feeling in my bones, right? Because Phoenix has.
I don't know about whoever now.
Like I really only agree with that statement if the team coming out is the Bucks. Okay,
The top three teams of the East are right now. Who?
The Heat. Don't
look at standings. Top three.
Okay.
The Nets.
Sure. Right?
No.
Just kidding. No.
Milwaukee, Philly, Miami.
Yeah.
I'm being rough. But I guess Boston should be up there instead of Miami.
I put Miami in there, and I would legitimately put Brooklyn in there. Remember, Kyrie wasn't playing a lot of the games, right? So, like, their standings would be better. Inevitably, their standings would be better if he played more games, right? Yeah. Mm-hmm. Any of those teams, and I would say Philly, Brooklyn, the top four, Philly, Brooklyn, Milwaukee, and Boston. The Phoenix Suns may beat Boston, but that's it. If James Harden makes it to that point of He is in the finals. I don't see him losing. Finals? I don't see him losing. Because that means he's overcome some kind of mental barrier, whatever it is, right? That's held him down up until this point. And that means he's doing what he's supposed to do with Joel Embiid on the floor. I don't see no one beating that. No one can beat that if James Harden plays well. The issue is James Harden hasn't been playing well, right? But if he starts clicking on all cylinders, it's a wrap for everybody.
But here's the thing, all right? If we already know he hasn't been playing well, right? And we've said multiple times that we don't think he plays particularly well in the playoffs. What makes you think that would change this year?
The thing is, I'm saying, like, if they wasn't get to that point.
I think
Milwaukee's coming out of the East no matter what. I think Milwaukee's going to be the one out of the East. If we have a rematch of last year's finals, Milwaukee wins again. Chris Paul's 1 year older. Sure, you have Devin Booker, you have the role players, and all kind of stuff. But Giannis is, no matter what JJ Redick says, Giannis is a top, arguably 2 player in the world, right? If that's the person leading your team and you have the role players and the second and third player, best players, as you do for Milwaukee, you can't bet against them, truthfully. And especially against, like, Memphis, too young. Too young and not efficient enough.
That's fair. The efficiency is mediocre. We're really good. But, like, that's fair. Like, I'm not trying to make an argument. Like Milwaukee's the only team that if you're like, okay, they come out the East and Memphis comes out the East, I'm like, yeah, Milwaukee's probably got it. Everybody else is up for grabs. I don't, like, and, like, I don't see a good argument to be like, yeah, these teams would definitely beat Memphis in 7, like, in a best of 7. Can they?
Who Memphis could ever stop Joel Embiid? Steven Adams?
Here's the thing. He's like any other of the other great scorers in the league. You're not trying to completely stop him. You're trying to make him as inefficient as possible.
You're right.
Hit him hard.
No.
I don't want him to get hurt.
And you know it. Hold on. I know it, and you know it. Joel Embiid is getting Steven Adams in foul trouble that quick. Because he does that on purpose. Like, that's like part of his game. James Harden. Yes, he is. So once that brick wall of a human being's gone, no one's stopping this man.
Ooh, Jaren Jackson.
He is the first big man to win a scoring title since Shaquille O'Neal.
Oh, wait, he won the... Oh, yeah, they're probably...
This is Shaquille, since Shaq.
76.
The most dominant big man of the last 30 years, at least, in the NBA, right? Because then before then, you could say, like, Kareem, before they could say Will, right? The most dominant big man in the last 30 years. Joel Embiid's the only one that winning score tells us then. No one's stopping him. He's clicking, too. He's clicking.
Okay, I'm not... So since it is now come to my attention that, like, Embiid has a scoring title, I would like to change who I pick to come out of the East.
No, don't back down. Don't back down. No.
Like, no, because as dumb as it is, right? Like, I remember looking up the dudes who won the scoring title. Only 2 dudes in the history of the NBA have won a scoring title and a chip in the same year. One of them is Shaq. The other one is Jordan. No one else has done it. Like that.
What's the correlation there? Please tell me what the correlation is there.
Phil Jackson?
Oh, they don't got Phil Jackson. We have nothing to worry about. Phil Philly, come on, man.
Oh, but real quick. I actually got to go, so Milwaukee's winning championship. I said they know right now. That's what I believe.
Okay with that.
That's what I believe. But like, yeah, Giannis is game 7 last year, or game 6, what was it, 6 or 7?
7. No.
It's 6.
The last one.
The last game of last season in the finals was something that I don't think I've ever seen before from a player. That was, and Alan, we watched it at the same time. That was ridiculous.
It was crazy.
That was a wild performance. So, and if he hits, once again, free throw percentage is like the highest of his career. And that game last year, he was hitting his free throws too. So that means he can hit free throws in clutch situations. You can't foul him. You know what I mean? You can't foul him sooner than the free throw line. So we'll see. But all right, I gotta go.
Hey, stick around for one quick second because we're just gonna go ahead and wrap it all up.
Okay.
All right, guys, thank you for tuning in to another episode of the Traveling Hoopers podcast. You just watched us give our playoff predictions. And when you go back and listen to this, just ignore some of the Floridian slips. I heard it at least like 4 or 5 times throughout the entire podcast. We rusty. It's okay, baby.
What slips?
Floridian slips where we like you said the wrong name.
Oh, yeah. That one also said Memphis coming out of the East.
Yeah, exactly.
Dang.
And we all got it at least like 3-4 times. Right. Like I said, Brooklyn is playing Atlanta. They're playing Cleveland. I forgot what you said, but we all did it. Hey, it's the playoffs. We're going to be fine with everything kick off next week. Trust me.
Yes, sir.
We back, baby. But in front of me are my good friends, Calvin McGowan and Philip Dixon. Guys, go ahead and sign out for us.
Okay. Once again, I'm Calvin McGowan. It's always been a pleasure to be here. Of course, join us on YouTube. Thank you for reading the end. Like, share, and subscribe. Some in the comments. Listen to us wherever you listen to podcasts. The Lakers are currently a trash organization and a dumpster fire with no future. Enjoy the rest of your week.
Okay.
I didn't have time to get into it during the regular podcast.
So Dixon, watch the Showtime Lakers show on HBO. If you get a chance to, then you can be really entertained with some wild 80s basketball. And, AKA the Salt Man, we out.